ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper here with you on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm coming to you from Washington, D.C., where Dick Cheney shoots a lot of bull. First, down in Texas, he aims at quail and hits lawyers, and maybe some people might say that's public service. I don't know. You know, I'll tell you, this Dick Cheney business is interesting. I didn't watch the evening news tonight, that is the official news, to see what the official response is. But, you know, I like to think that maybe they delayed 24 hours in trying to report this thing because maybe they were trying to find somebody else to take the rap. You know, Dick Cheney's a very rich man, and he probably made a lot of phone calls and said, hey, you know, I just accidentally shot a buddy of mine, and it doesn't look too good, so listen, you know, I'll put some money in your Swiss bank account if you say you were on the ranch and you're the one that fired the shots. Now, of course, I'm about half kidding, folks, but then again, I'm not. But, you know, I'll tell you what the real issue here is. Everybody's worrying about Dick Cheney shooting a lawyer, presumably by accident. You know, he is a hothead, I'm told. You know, maybe he did it deliberately. Who knows? But you know what the real big issue is? Dick Cheney wounded one lawyer. But through a series of lies and deceptions that he told repeatedly to the public and anybody who would listen, Dick Cheney and his little friend in the White House, George W. Bush, sent more than, at this point now, than more than 2,200 American men and women to their deaths in a needless war in Iraq. And that doesn't even include all the innocent Iraqis and men, women, and children, civilians, plus the military who've died there. So, you know, I'll tell you what, although this Dick Cheney story is kind of interesting and kind of funny, it's probably just what it's been reported as, just an accident. You know, people do have hunting accidents. But, you know, let's not get distracted by the sensational little things like this. And keep our eyes on the big picture, because the big picture is where it's at. And there's nothing more than our criminally corrupt ruling elite want to do than to distract us and get us sidetracked, you know, on sensational things like this. I can never figure out why the Scott Peterson, Lacey Peterson affair was such a big deal. I mean, they weren't celebrities. I could almost understand why the O.J. Simpson affair was a big deal. I mean, because let's face it, O.J. was a pretty famous guy. Although not being a football fan, I hardly had any idea who O.J. Simpson really was until that trial began. But, you know, when you see the media focusing on these sensational murder trials, and, you know, then of course they interest people. They interest me. I mean, different members of my family have always been interested in these stories. But, you know, these are the distractions for our time. And I'll tell you what, I'll give you a little preview just for fun. Sometime I'm going to talk about my own theory on the O.J. Simpson case, and I guarantee you it's something you've never heard before. Although, through some connections at the National Enquirer years ago, I passed the story on to them at the urging of one of their reporters, and the National Enquirer wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Like I said, if you're an O.J. fan or if you're not an O.J. fan, that's something you'll want to listen for. Some night when I have some time and I can get my file together on it, I'm going to tell you some stuff about the O.J. Simpson affair that I guarantee you've never heard before. And you might actually start to think that maybe O.J.'s innocent, or maybe O.J. knows a little bit more about it than he ever admitted, and you'll understand why he didn't tell what he knew if you listen to my quote-unquote conspiracy theory regarding that. But that's for another time. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about the Oklahoma City bombing. And I think that's something a lot of you will find of interest. And those of you who don't find it of interest, well, listen in, because you might find it of interest once you've heard it. So now we have to go for a break, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C. on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
With Valentine's Day rapidly approaching on February 14th, the American Gold Rose Company reminds you that their beautiful collection of real roses dipped in 24-karat gold may be just what you're looking for. The Classic Rose is priced at only $49.95. It's 11 inches long and comes in a beautiful red gift box. There's the Hollywood Elite Rose for only $65, where your special someone receives a long-stem gold rose, 17 inches long, delivered to their door in a beautiful gold presentation box. Both are unique gifts. And when you buy any two gold roses, you'll receive free a genuine rose leaf dipped in 24-karat gold, a $30 value free. The American Gold Rose Company. Call now at 1-800-458-7134. That's 1-800-458-7134. Fresh cut roses, dipped in 24-karat gold, delivered to their door that last a lifetime. That's 1-800-458-7134 or online at AmericanGoldRose.com.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Welcome back, folks. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C. on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I hope you were listening very carefully to that commercial for American Free Press that just played over some of these stations here. That's a very important commercial because it talks about a very important newspaper. I happen to write for that newspaper on a pretty regular basis, but it would be important to me whether or not I wrote for it or not, because it's a newspaper that covers a lot of issues that you will not find written about anywhere else. And, you know, as a consequence, and I've mentioned this on the air before, as a consequence of writing for American Free Press and the spotlight before that, I've gotten to become acquainted with or have contact with either on my own initiative or at the initiative of others with a lot of very interesting people here and around the world. And, you know, I'll talk about that periodically. But tonight I want to talk about Timothy McVeigh. I'm probably one of the few people in the world who ever got a letter from Timothy McVeigh, comparatively, one of a few in this great big wide world. I got a letter from Timothy McVeigh from his prison cell in Terre Haute, Indiana. Back the envelope I have, which I'm holding in my hand, was dated March 27th, 2001. Has Tim McVeigh's handwritten name and his prison number in the upper left-hand corner, and it's personally addressed in his hand to me. Well, this is definitely from Tim McVeigh, no question about that. I'll tell you what's interesting about this letter. It's not really even a letter. It's a printout of an article from the Rocky Mountain News in Denver. Evidently, Mr. McVeigh had somebody printing stuff out for him, or else he was able to do it himself. I don't know quite what the arrangements are there in that federal prison. But it's a story of a fellow named Cary Gagan, G-A-G-A-N, who evidently told a story that he knew about plans to blow up the Murrah Building, and he basically claimed, Mr. Gagan claimed it's either Arabs or Iranians were somehow involved, you know, and that they were part of the conspiracy, and evidently he kind of tried to link McVeigh, but in any case, at least he claimed that he knew about it. Well, in McVeigh's handwriting, it says, "One lie too many smokes out a con artist." Well, I was very intrigued to get this letter from Tim McVeigh, which said nothing to me, wasn't addressed inside, so there was no letter inside, said, "Dear Mr. Piper," this or that, it, just this printout. Now, I found this very interesting because I had never written about Cary Gagan. I'd read about him. I kind of had some doubts about his story. And yet Tim McVeigh is writing me a letter and telling me that this guy is a liar. But McVeigh was not commenting on anything that I had ever written about. I'll tell you why that's interesting, in my opinion. That's interesting because what I was writing about primarily was the subject of federal government and private intelligence agency infiltrators, people from whether it be the CIA or the BATF or the Southern Poverty Law Center or the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, people surrounding McVeigh, perhaps manipulating him, perhaps working with him, perhaps reporting back to the government or to the ADL about McVeigh's activities. That was almost the entire focus of what I wrote about. And yet McVeigh didn't comment on any of that. You know, my impression was that McVeigh was speaking to me almost in code, saying that, "You've never written about this, but it's a lie." And that he was indirectly saying, "But you're pretty close in what you have written about to what really happened." Well, as I say, that was my impression, but, you know, they put Mr. McVeigh to death and never had a chance to interview him. But I did get a letter then. I did get a letter sometime later from a guy who spent a great deal of time with McVeigh in the federal prison cells in the Terre Haute, Indiana. And in that letter to me from David Paul Hammer, he describes his relationship with McVeigh, and he goes on to basically tell me in the letter, I'm not going to bore you by reading everything that's in this letter, but he goes on to tell me that essentially much of what I had written in the Spotlight, and later, of course, actually in American Free Press, the paper I'm writing for these days, went on to say that much of what I had written was pretty much confirmed to him in bits and pieces by Timothy McVeigh, particularly data surrounding the role of an enigmatic German immigrant named Andreas Strassmeier, who was masquerading inside the so-called right wing in America, posing as some sort of neo-Nazi. Well, this guy Strassmeier became pretty evident to those of us who dared to say it. It was pretty obvious that Andreas Strassmeier was some sort of informant, and that his attorney, Kirk Lyons, who kept insisting that Strassmeier was not an informant, it was pretty obvious that Mr. Lyons had to know better about this. So basically what we had here in the Oklahoma City bombing was a scenario where Timothy McVeigh, whatever role he ultimately played, he was obviously surrounded by people who were either working for the federal government or for the ADL or the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they knew exactly what Timothy McVeigh was up to. Now, I know a lot of you have an interest in the Oklahoma City bombing, and if you want to call in, we'll talk about it. I think maybe if we could, maybe let's just make this Oklahoma City bombing night. We don't have to be restricted to that, but if you have any opinions about that or any questions, let's talk about it. Our 800 number here is 800-313-9443. It's 800-313-9443. Now, coming back to McVeigh, you know, it's generally been my opinion that, without getting into a lot of details, because we have a limited amount of time, it's generally been my opinion that he was not just a patsy. He was out there carrying out actions that were related to, shall we say, the placement of a bomb front of the federal building in Oklahoma City. I don't think Timothy McVeigh thought he was delivering submarine sandwiches, and I think Timothy McVeigh probably did drive a truck up to the Oklahoma City federal building, and he may have even thought that they were going to that a bomb was going to be discovered but not set off. And then, of course, it's highly unlikely that Timothy McVeigh knew about the explosives that were inside the building. Somebody put those there, and it wasn't Timothy McVeigh. So just a few thoughts to get things going here. We got Jeff in Massachusetts. Jeff, come on up.
Hi, yes. I have the book in front of me called The Medusa File with Craig Roberts. Have you read that
book? Yes, good book, good book. I have that book, although I don't have it handy, yeah.
Yes. Now, The Medusa File is a very brilliant book on the subject of the Oklahoma City bombing because Craig Roberts connects the bombing to these Iraqi cell groups that were in America. And Timothy McVeigh played a small role in that because, what's his name, Nichols, was in the Philippines. And McVeigh.
Right. Yeah, this is I'll tell you what, this idea of Terry Nichols and his travels in the Philippines, they do appear to be very, very suspicious. I mean, no question about that. However, this whole question of Iraqi involvement in the Oklahoma City bombing, I've always been very, very skeptical of that for the simple reason, you know, everybody says, well, Timothy McVeigh was interacting with Iraqis. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, it does appear that he was. I don't have any doubt about that. What people seem to forget, though, is that those Iraqis who were here in the United States that Tim McVeigh was interacting with, they left Iraq because they did not like Saddam Hussein. These were not pro-Saddam people here in the United States. Now, what's her name? Her name is Davis. Jaina Davis, who was a reporter down there in Oklahoma City, has written a whole book on the subject of McVeigh's Iraqi connection, or McVeigh's quote-unquote Middle East connections. And it's very interesting about that book. Her book is called The Third Terrorist, and it's promoted by a group of these neoconservatives, these people who are hooked up with the Israeli lobby. And she presents this case where she can't decide whether Saddam Hussein was behind the Oklahoma bombing or whether it was Osama bin Laden. And then, of course, then she kind of hints around that actually the Oklahoma City bombing was a joint project of Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein. Well, anybody who knows even the slightest bit about the Middle East knows that Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden were bitter enemies. Saddam Hussein was a very secular, one might even say progressive, Middle East dictator, whereas Osama bin Laden
was a fundamentalist.
Well, but then again, we raise the question, is Osama bin Laden for real? I mean, there's a lot of people who will say Osama bin Laden is a tool of the CIA and the Mossad trying to stoke up trouble in the Middle East. So therefore, I then raise the question as to why all of a sudden people are promoting this idea that McVeigh was part of a Middle East-based conspiracy. Now, what you also have to keep in mind, back after the time of the Oklahoma City bombing,
yes,
there were a number of people running around Oklahoma City who just suddenly seemed to be there. One of them was a character by the name of William Northrop, who was a longtime functionary of Israeli intelligence, and he was the one who was down there really trying to stoke up the fire and say that this bombing was the work of Middle East terrorists.
Oh.
But you know what? I'll tell you what the biggest argument against this bombing being
yes,
the product
that?
Of the Arabs or of even the so-called Islamic fundamentalists in general.
Yes, what's that?
Is the fact that if it really had been, it would have been all over the media at the time. And I hear some music telling us that our media is being limited here by a commercial. So you hang on, Jeff, and we'll talk about this further when we come back, and we'll explode the Middle East myth about Oklahoma. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C.
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
With Valentine's Day rapidly approaching on February 14th, the American Gold Rose Company reminds you that their beautiful collection of real roses dipped in 24-karat gold may be just what you're looking for. The Classic Rose is priced at only $49.95. It's 11 inches long and comes in a beautiful red gift box. There's the Hollywood Elite Rose for only $65, where your special someone receives a long-stem gold rose, 17 inches long, delivered to their door in a beautiful gold presentation box. Both are unique gifts. And when you buy any two gold roses, you'll receive free a genuine rose leaf dipped in 24-karat gold, a $30 value free. The American Gold Rose Company. Call now at 1-800-458-7134. That's 1-800-458-7134. Fresh cut roses dipped in 24-karat gold, delivered to their door that last a lifetime. That's 1-800-458-7134 or online at AmericanGoldRose.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're talking with Jeff in Massachusetts, and we're getting a lineup of callers here. So, Jeff, we'll have to wrap this up so we can squeeze somebody else in. But I guess basically, your view is that those Arabs did the Oklahoma City bombing. Is that correct?
Well, I'm gonna read from page 350 of the book, and also I'm going to confirm what you also said too.
Okay, well, listen, don't read too much. There's one thing. Even though I'm a writer and I occasionally read on the air, there's nothing that's worse to listen to on the air than somebody reading something. So,
okay,
please make it fast.
Okay, I promise I won't read it. Basically, on page 350, witnesses describe two Middle Eastern males wearing their jumpsuits or jogging suits hanging around, and then on page 369, it talks about Strassmeyer being and Craig Roberts asked questions about what Strassmeyer's background was. I mean, Strassmeyer was no joke. He was high level in Germany, and he was with the Mossad and had ties with the Mossad. And that's on page 369 of the book called The Medusa File with Craig Roberts.
As I say, that's a good book. I don't have it handy, but I know I have it here in my library. And Yes, no question about it. This thing about the Arabs and the Middle East connection, I think was a deliberate Mossad provocation. You know, I've told a number of people, you know, again, this is my opinion, but I've always thought that the Oklahoma City bombing was the Mossad's dry run for 9-1-1. You know, these false flags that the Israelis like to plant to get you looking in one direction. This is, I think, what happened there. So, Jeff, I got to move on here. Can I move on to Andrew from Florida?
Yes, hello there.
How you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing real good. Idea is, I guess, is that Timothy McVeigh now lives somewhere in the Caribbean and was very well rewarded for his silence and services. Some witnesses say that as he was carted out after his execution, his breast was still moving up and down slowly.
Well, frankly, I never heard that, but, you know, I tell you, I wouldn't, again, you know, I always say this, you know, I really, unless I see something to really prove it otherwise in my mind, I would not dismiss the possibility that Tim McVeigh could still be alive. However, I would tend to think that, you know, whoever, let's just say he was in on the deal. Just for the sake
of, yes, he certainly was.
Well, yeah, let's just say, no, but I'm saying, let's just say for the sake of argument that he was in on something, and they said to him, okay, hey, Tim, let's pretend we're going to put you to sleep, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't the people who have the power to do it put some real drugs in there and just kill him and get him out of the way? Is there really that much honor among thieves?
No, there's not. So
that's the only reason why I question the possibility of it.
Well, he had a 50-50 chance at that deal. And you're correct in that assessment.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I'm not arguing your point. I'm just kind of saying that, yeah, it basically what we're talking about here is that if he was in on it, it was a 50-50. They were either going to let him live or let him die.
Well,
yeah.
Then he probably looked at it as being a 50% chance. That wasn't too bad for him since he had already a death sentence put on him.
Yeah, like I say, this is one of these things, you know, we'll never really know, you know, I mean, unless somebody comes forth and, you know, all of a sudden 20 years from now says, hi, I'm Tim McVeigh. And,
yeah.
You know, so it's one of those things.
Happen.
But you know, again, you know what it really all comes down to? It's just what I say about the Kennedy assassination, about 9-1-1. Really, I'll tell you, even about the Abe Lincoln assassination, we're never going to know the entirety of what really happened.
No.
You know, and part of the reason is because we have a government that has this really bad habit. They lie.
Yeah,
and
they like
just,
to hide things.
Yeah, they just can't give up these lies. So, you know, this is the kind of thing we're dealing with. And
before you let me go, I've got one other idea for patriots here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Patriots, we all need a common ID, a common flag that we can rally around. And this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that we should all look through all the state flags that are out there and adopt one state flag and make it our own, and we should all be flying it all across the nation. One suggestion I have is the flag of Arizona. It's a star and has a very loud field behind it of it looks like sun rays that are going out from behind the star.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, everybody's going to be looking on the Internet or in their good old-fashioned encyclopedia tonight to see what that flag looks like. I certainly will myself.
Yeah.
I'm rather partial to the state flag of Pennsylvania, where our next caller, we're going to take him after the break. But it's an interesting point. You know, there's a lot of symbolism in these flags. As I say, I've always been rather partial to the Pennsylvania state flag, but a lot of interesting flags out there, and they have a lot of meaning. And the bottom line point of what you're making is that we got to find some unity so we can make our voice heard. And,
yeah, let's do it, because all these neocons are still flying American flags on their cars.
They pretend well, don't they? All right, listen, thanks for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C. on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
With Valentine's Day rapidly approaching on February 14th, the American Gold Rose Company reminds you that their beautiful collection of real roses dipped in 24-karat gold may be just what you're looking for. The Classic Rose is priced at only $49.95. It's 11 inches long and comes in a beautiful red gift box. There's the Hollywood Elite Rose for only $65, where your special someone receives a long-stem gold rose, 17 inches long, delivered to their door in a beautiful gold presentation box. Both are unique gifts. And when you buy any two gold roses, you'll receive free a genuine rose leaf dipped in 24-karat gold, a $30 value free. The American Gold Rose Company. Call now at 1-800-458-7134. That's 1-800-458-7134. Fresh cut roses dipped in 24-karat gold delivered to their door that last a lifetime. That's 1-800-458-7134 or online at AmericanGoldRose.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic amp, antenna, line out, and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're back here on Valentine's Day, coming to you from Washington, D.C. This is Michael Collins Piper here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You know, Cupid shoots an arrow on Valentine's Day. Well, I'd like to think that we're here shooting an arrow through the heart of the Zionist monster that some euphemistically call the New World Order. Anyway, we got a guy calling from Pennsylvania named Victor, and if it's who I think it is, he's one of the premier fighters against the New World Order. Let's bring him up and see if I'm psychic or if I'm just right on the mark.
How you doing, Michael?
This is Victor Thorne of WingTV.net, author of The New World Order Exposed and lots of other things. What's going on, Victor?
Well, hey, I'm glad you're throwing up a red flag about the whole Arab angle in relation to the OKC bombing, because it seems like more and more people are starting to push this angle. And from my perspective, it just seems to fall into the neocons' lap. It, you know, it promotes their agenda.
So, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, so I'm glad you're pointing that out. But I don't want to take a whole lot of time, but I know you have a great story about Daryl Bridges, a.k.a. Timothy McVeigh, and a phone card advertisement in the spotlight, an article in the Washington Post that suddenly, mysteriously disappeared, and how the ADL was behind it. So I'm going to listen off the air, but do you know what story I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know that story, and I'll tell it real quickly because it's worth telling, and it says a lot about a lot of things, including news management.
It shows a lot how there's more going on behind the scenes than what the public ever knew. So I'm going to listen off air and just keep up the great work,
okay? Yeah, sure, Victor. Thanks for calling. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Victor's talking about a story that's, as I say, very interesting, both in the context of the Oklahoma bombing and who was involved, how they were involved, and what they knew in advance. It's a very long, complicated story, but I'm going to try to break it down into about four or five sentences. Day after the Oklahoma bombing, the Washington Post reported that the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith had announced that Tim McVeigh was planning, had been advertising in the spotlight under the name T. Tuttle. Well, this came as a surprise to those of us there at the spotlight, and we started looking through our files and found that, in fact, such an advertisement had run several times, but we had pulled it because, oddly enough, the editor thought it seemed kind of suspicious. He couldn't quite put his finger on it, but we pulled it. What turned out, it was an advertisement that had run about a year before the bombing from Tim McVeigh. But what's interesting is the Anti-Defamation League was quoted in the Washington Post as having said that the advertisements ran in, shall we say, issues A, B, C, and D of the spotlight for that particular year. And we went and checked and found that Tim McVeigh had contracted to run in issues A, B, C, and D. But the because of some scheduling problems, the advertisements had actually run in C, D, and E. In other words, the ADL only had that information about Tim McVeigh's contractual agreement with the spotlight because either Tim McVeigh had given them the information or McVeigh gave that information to somebody else who gave it to the Anti-Defamation League. Well, the point is this. They obviously were following Tim McVeigh, this Israeli lobby group here in the United States. They knew exactly what Tim McVeigh was up to. But now here's where it gets interesting. We read this story in the early morning edition of the Washington Post. Well, you know, I accidentally threw that issue out, and I said, well, we got to go get that article again. So I went back across the street to a local bookstore and published a later edition of the Washington Post, and this entire article, big, long article, folks, about McVeigh, this entire article was run again, except there was like two lines deleted from the article, and that was the reference to the Anti-Defamation League and Timothy McVeigh's advertising in the spotlight. Basically, folks, what happened here was this. The ADL itself discovered that they had accidentally let the cat out of the bag, that despite their brilliant intelligence, they had forgotten, evidently, or maybe just screwed up here, they had forgotten McVeigh had actually not run his ads in the date that it was originally scheduled. So the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith got on the telephone to the Washington Post and said, hey, guys, hold the presses. We made a mistake. So the Post ran this otherwise big, long article, virtually unedited so far as I could see anywhere else. But those lines regarding the ADL were taken out. And what makes this even more interesting is the fact that the original article appears to have completely disappeared, even from the Washington Post's official archives. A number of people over the years have tried to find it. Well, as I say, I read the article, and my colleagues at the Spotlight office read the article, and we had taken the information down, so we know that it ran. But somehow, some way, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, highly regarded civil rights organization, so we're told, seem to have inside information on Timothy McVeigh. I'm here to tell you, I believe the ADL knew exactly what Tim McVeigh was up to. And as far as I'm concerned, they should be hauled before a grand jury and investigated for possible involvement in the bombing conspiracy. That's the story. I think it's an interesting story. Let's go to our next caller. We have a few callers chiming in here, and I think it's Mike from Maryland. If it's Mike, bring him on up.
Yeah, thank you. Great show. I've got my second issue of American Free Press, and I'm already spreading it around to my friends and coworkers.
Good. Appreciate that.
A very good paper, and I think that the Oklahoma City was just a natural progression in government-sponsored terrorism. You had Ruby Ridge, you had Waco, Oklahoma City, the 9/11, and I dread to see what the government has in store for us next. Now,
I hate to say it, but I'm afraid you're right. Yeah,
I know. And now they may have had Arab pansies or maybe Arab surrogates or mercenaries. It wouldn't surprise me a bit that the ADL well, not the ideal, but I mean the Mossad or Israel's involved in it some way, you would know more about it than I do. But any country that's a so-called ally that would try to sink one of our intelligence ships back in 67, you know, in order to get us to fight for them in the 67 war, is capable of doing just about anything.
Thank you for saying that, Mike. You're absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a very basic point. And you know something? It's a point that I sometimes tend to miss in my own writing because, I do focus on the intrigues of Israel and the Israeli lobby, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. That's a primary focus of my writing. But, you know, sometimes I don't see the forest for the trees, and sometimes I forget about that very fact that back in 1967, they deliberately murdered 34 Americans, and they would have killed the rest of them, all those guys aboard the USS Liberty, if they could have. So if they're capable of that, they're capable of anything.
I know, did you see Alex Jones' video, 9/11, The Road to Tyranny?
I may have seen it. I've seen several of his videos, but I'm not sure that particular one.
He's got some very prescient footage of the EMT workers and the policemen talking to, the news media, interviewing the EMT workers and the policemen as they're carrying dead and broken bodies out of the building. And they said, yes, there are two unexploded bombs inside the building, and we heard several explosions. And he even had the governor commenting on the news footage about sitting in the bomb squad to disassemble the two bombs inside the building.
This is the Oklahoma City bombing.
Yes, Oklahoma City bombing.
Oh, yeah, well, this is something, there's no question about it. I mean, this information is unimpeachable. There's been a lot of good people out there like John Cash, J.D. Cash, who I owe a telephone call, incidentally, to. John, if you're listening, I'll call you sooner than later. There's a lot of good people out there who've been digging into this and far more than I have. You know, I've only scratched the surface, but thank God for all these people who are really digging into it, because that gives you and I the opportunity to be able to come on the air and talk about these things that maybe people have never heard of before. And God willing, there are people tuning in to Republic Broadcasting tonight who've never tuned in before, and maybe they'll learn something. Maybe it'll give them a seismic shock that they need to wake up and see what's really going on.
Sure. But this is a classic case of managed media.
Absolutely. No, this is, and it all comes down to it. You know, that's why American Free Press says the media is the enemy.
I thank God for periodicals like yours. But I just want to make one quick comment about Quayle. About Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney,
on the
he's some bird. You're right about that. Yeah,
I know. Maybe you thought Dan Quayle was secret behind him. I don't know. but all seriousness aside, I think that Dick Cheney is leading from the front because, they're under a big budget crunch, and we're short on Social Security money. So you catch my drift. Maybe they're just saying to the American public, off a senior, and there'll be less pressure on the Social Security system for the upcoming generations.
Well, I tell you what, this is all part of the manipulation we have to deal with, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen. Thank you for your call. Let me move forward to Roger from Pennsylvania.
Thanks, Michael. As far as the flags, I've always favored the "Don't Tread on Me" flags. But
you're right; I like that one too. Yeah,
there are several of them, but I would rather say go back to the Declaration era.
Revolutionary era. Yeah,
yeah.
We need a revolution in this country. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think it would be better symbolism all around. But the one thing that always pestered me—I never hear anybody else mentioning this but me, maybe once every year or two, and that is the inexplicable one-day delay in McVeigh's execution, where he met with FBI and or other government feds. My speculation was that this was McVeigh's way of letting them know that there's not going to be any double cross where he's actually going to get iced. And then follow that with, we have no metaphysical certitude verification of the actual death of Tim McVeigh.
That's interesting. You know, I had forgotten about that. There was indeed a delay. You're right about that. I had totally forgotten about that.
I don't know.
That is very interesting.
I don't know anyone that's ever written about it or anything. This one fellow, like a week or so ago, probably a guest here on RBN, I forget where, asserting that he's certain that McVeigh is, in fact, still alive. I think he probably is alive myself. Otherwise, I think there would have been a reliable attester to his having been terminated.
Yeah, you know, I tell you though, the thing about this is, and this is kind of a, you know, as I say, I don't think that it's a crazy idea, or I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. But you know what? In the bigger picture, whatever did or did not happen to Timothy McVeigh, you know, chances are we'll never know. And whatever did happen to him, since we will probably never know that, it probably really doesn't matter whether he's alive or dead. It'll only matter if he somehow comes out and convinces us that he is still alive. You see what I'm saying? This kind of brings me back to the Kennedy assassination. Everybody wants to talk about where the bullets hit Kennedy and where they were fired from, but the real issue is not even who actually fired the bullets, but who paid the guys to fire the bullets. Why was Kennedy killed? And that comes back to the Oklahoma City bombing.
Yeah.
We know Tim McVeigh played a part.
Yeah, I think
somehow, some way.
I think somehow he had audio or video clips hanging over their heads, lest he be iced, that they would be released. Well, take care. God bless.
All right, thanks a lot for your call. Yeah, okay, we have Dan in Oklahoma. Dan, and we have Mark and I. Dan, let me just say, we have a couple more callers here, so let's try to make it quick and get everybody in.
Well, I've got too much to say to make it quick, so maybe I'll wait till another time, Mike.
Well, how long do you think you have to say?
Well, I don't know. I went down to Elohim City and talked to the people down there. I had read in Cash's articles about an armed compound, and he made them look like they were a vicious bunch. And I went down there and found no fences, no guards, a completely open
settlement. Let me say something about that. We're not here to defame the people at Elohim City. Because I don't think anybody at Elohim City, other than Andreas Strassmeyer, perhaps had anything to do with the bombing. And Andreas Strassmeyer was not a good guy. Andreas Strassmeyer was a federal fink. So we're not here to talk about whether the people at Elohim City were good guys
no,
or bad guys. So that point's irrelevant.
Well, I agree with you on Andreas Strassmeyer.
Okay, well,
but
like
I think
that
he was working instead for the Southern Poverty Law Center,
right,
their modus operandi.
Right, exactly. So, like I say, so there's no reason to even have to defend the people of Elohim City here tonight. Because
what about Daniel Spiegelman, Mike?
That's a very interesting. Daniel Spiegelman was a guy who apparently was picked up in Europe at some point, and his name just kind of dropped off the map. And, you know, frankly, I never pursued the matter myself, and I don't know of anybody who has.
Well, I looked a little into it, and he was selling books that were stolen from Columbia University Library. And when they investigated, they went into his living quarters in New York City. He was in Holland when he was arrested.
Okay.
And they found there a list of names that connected him to the Oklahoma City bombing.
Okay.
And they requested permission to extradite him to the United States in connection with the Oklahoma City bombing. He threatened to commit suicide if that happened.
Hmm.
He was not extradited on those charges, apparently through some sort of intervention by Janet Reno. And he said that all that was a list of names of dead people. And it brings up an interesting question. Was Daniel Spiegelman connected with some sort of a criminal underground, a mafioso? Was he fencing stolen items for them? And he had a post office box in the same facility that McVeigh did in Kingman, Arizona.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
And
was he getting
names for false ID cards to allow people to fly under the radar, both, you know, gangs of so-called right-wing racist bank robbers and other people involved in the Oklahoma City bombing.
Well, you know,
and
that's very interesting.
He's Jewish, of course. He was originally, I think, from the Ukraine. Interesting story. Anyway, I'll let it go, Mike.
Listen,
thanks.
I appreciate you calling that in because you've inspired me to look a little bit further into that. And what you don't know is that I did some research on a peripheral story connected to the Oklahoma bombing that that lends me to believe that you're on to something there, and I'm going to look into it a little further. So I appreciate that. I hear that music coming up. We only have about 5 minutes after the break here, but we're going to get in our last two callers in that 5 minutes. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
With Valentine's Day rapidly approaching on February 14th, the American Gold Rose Company reminds you that their beautiful collection of real roses dipped in 24-karat gold may be just what you're looking for. The Classic Rose is priced at only $49.95. It's 11 inches long and comes in a beautiful red gift box. There's the Hollywood Elite Rose for only $65, where your special someone receives a long-stem gold rose, 17 inches long, delivered to their door in a beautiful gold presentation box. Both are unique gifts. And when you buy any two gold roses, you'll receive free a genuine rose leaf dipped in 24-karat gold, a $30 value free. The American Gold Rose Company. Call now at 1-800-458-7134. That's 1-800-458-7134. Fresh cut roses, dipped in 24-karat gold, delivered to their door that last a lifetime. That's 1-800-458-7134 or online at AmericanGoldRose.com.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles of the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
Good evening. We're wrapping up another hour here, much to the dismay of George W. Bush and gunslinger Dick Cheney. We've just got a few minutes left, and we're going to go to our callers right away. And we got three callers. If you guys could make it fast, I think everybody will appreciate it. But let's go with Mark in Idaho first.
Chris, for you. Listen, I wanted to add something very quick. Everybody should remember, you know, 4 months prior to what took place in Oklahoma City, all of a sudden, all across the media, you had these news stories about the militia this and the militia that. I myself used to run around with some of these militia guys in Michigan, and it seemed like the reporters were coming out of the wall wanting to interview us all the time. But anyway, when the news broke, about Oklahoma City. And the name was given out, Timothy McVeigh. It kept gnawing at my mind. I had heard this name somewhere before. So I went back to my computer, and I looked at some of the old emails that I had gotten. And about 4 months earlier, right about the time that these reporters were starting to come around wanting to interview all of us, I had an email that had been sent to me from somebody who had attended a militia meeting, and there was a guy at that meeting named Timothy McVeigh, and he was trying to talk all of the militia guys into storming the National Guard armory and stealing the guns. This was about 4 months prior. I still have email to this day. And what happened is that the guys at this militia meeting, they immediately contacted the FBI and made them aware of this guy. But I still have the email to this day that was sent out as an alert to everybody to watch out for this guy named Timothy. And this is about 4 months before Oklahoma City. So you can chew on that for a while, and I'll let you go on to your next caller.
Mark, that's a very interesting story, and we'll have to talk about that sometime off the air. Very, very interesting. Okay, we have Troy in New York. Troy, fire away.
Yes, thank you. You know, the same sort of thing happened with Strassmeyer. He was followed by militia people who were suspicious of him to a BATF office, I believe. I think it was in Texas. This was sometime before.
Yeah, it was a federal building in any case, correct.
Oh, a federal building, yeah. Anyway, I would assume that the feds really wanted to kill McVeigh really quick. I don't know what he knew, but I guess they didn't want him to tell anyone. I would assume the family got the body, and I assume they would have, you know, taken
him. I believe he was cremated.
By the government?
I at his request, supposedly. So, we're probably never going to know.
Telltale thing, of course, is the physics of it and how, you know, a truck bomb couldn't have done the damage that it did. People should look at General Parton and the Key Report, and also a very good book by an English author called Ambrose Evans Pritchard, The Secret Life of Bill Clinton.
Absolutely. Excellent book. Excellent.
Also, he asked McVeigh if he had anything to say for famous last words, and he wrote down 16 short lines of poetry, and I wonder if anyone would like to hear them.
Go ahead.
Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody, but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears, looms but the horror of the shade. Yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me, unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I, the captain of my soul.
All right, well, I guess we're going to close on those faithful words, and we'll see you here tomorrow night. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C. on Republic Broadcasting Network.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
This is RBN,
The Republic Broadcasting Network.